Lesson 2, the organization and management of construction and maintenance in mass displacement contexts. This lesson aims to cover mainly learning objective 2 for this course, to communicate and discuss issues using appropriate terminology relating to mass displacement with specific reference to construction and facilities management of the built environment. It also partly covers learning objective 1. To understand how construction and facilities management decisions and activities affect mass displacement impacts on the built environment and enhance or constrain integration and social cohesion. And it also partly covers learning objective 3, to appreciate the policy and legal frameworks that apply to mass displacement with specific reference to construction and facilities management of the built environment. Building on from Lesson 1, Lesson 2 starts with brief definitions of key words such as migration, displacement, mass displacement, internally displaced persons, etc., that the learner might encounter in the presentation. The lesson examines issues related to housing for refugees, rights of refugees, and other displaced persons. These issues are examined within the context of construction and facilities management. It is undeniable that refugees and displaced persons should have the right to security of tenure, availability of services such as water, electricity, sewage, and so forth. It is a United Nations requirement that authorities provide refugees with basic shelter and housing. What constitutes basic shelter and housing is an issue that will be addressed within the context of Lesson 2. In the housing of refugees, internally displaced persons, and so forth, two main options are available to the authorities, that is, providing temporary or permanent structures. These are examined in depth in Lesson 2. Later in the course, in Lesson 4, materials related to shelter options and approaches to housing will be discussed. In terms of temporary shelter facilities, these are mainly in the form of tents, containers, or similar structures provided in emergency situations to house refugees and other displaced persons. Practically, these structures are suitable for emergency situations to protect against extreme weather. In recent times, we have seen the harsh winter conditions some of the Syrian refugees endure living in some of these makeshift structures in neighboring countries. To prepare itself against emergencies triggered by wars and natural disasters, the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees maintains contingency stock of these structures across the world. A standard tent costs about $200 and houses up to 6 persons, but these have been criticized for the lack of privacy they afford for refugees. Whilst these structures are supposed to be temporary, they often become permanent homes for refugees. A good example of an emergency shelter is that of the Kalutara and Gaul districts of Sri Lanka following floods and landslides in 2017. Unlike temporary shelter, permanent structures are for refugees and asylum seekers who are prevented from returning home for a long period. It could be said that these are for vulnerable individuals who live in United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees-sponsored collective centers, for example, in Bosnia and Herzegovina. The material and resources for the construction of these permanent structures come from the United Nations High Commission for Refugees. In order that refugees and other displaced persons do not end up in makeshift buildings, it is important that the projects are well coordinated and follow local building regulations and guidance. In this presentation, different project management measures are examined for the delivery of permanent homes for refugees and other displaced persons. Amongst the different issues covered are those related to the selection of suitable procurement options, contract management, project delivery schedules, and so forth. One of the key areas covered in this lesson is the funding arrangement for homes for refugees and other displaced persons. It discusses the level of contribution from the principal stakeholders, that is, national governments, the United Nations, and from private sources. Using the United Kingdom as an example, the different stages for housing of refugees are discussed. This includes initial accommodation for the housing of new arrivals, dispersal accommodation, offering long-term accommodation for refugees, and moving on for the deportation or integration of the refugees into local communities. For each of these stages, refugees are housed in buildings, that is, hostels, lodgings, and so forth, provided by either the local authority or by private individuals. Given the tight financial resources, the procurement and management of these properties and services is crucial. This lesson delves into the subject of outsourcing that remains one of the main routes for achieving the above objectives. Within the context of the United Kingdom's Home Office, the lesson reviews different outsourcing arrangements and contracts. In addition to reviewing the requirements of the service level agreements, key questions about value for money to both taxpayers and refugees are considered. The outsourcing of refugee accommodation in the United Kingdom is not without problems. As discussed in this lesson, refugees and their families continue to be housed in hostel-type accommodation with very little privacy. In some cases, families are housed in separate accommodation. From a construction and facilities management perspective, in this lesson, the key requirements for the delivery of outsourcing arrangements for refugee accommodation are examined. This includes the following process steps. Assess, to determine whether outsourcing is suitable for the delivery of housing and services, cleaning, maintenance, etc., for refugees. Prepare, the process for the selection of the preferred bidder. Evaluate, selection of a vendor that represents value for money for the taxpayers and refugees. Commit, aligning the vendor's objectives to those of the Home Office for refugees and setting key performance indicators for the measurement of performance. In the last part of the presentation, we review the performance of maintenance services for refugee homes in the United Kingdom. Despite strict conditions in the service level agreement for the maintenance of homes for refugees, evidence suggests that refugees continue to be housed in poor conditions. In the last part of the lesson, these issues are discussed using the example of complaints against outsourcing companies providing property and facilities management services for the Home Office.